27. On Parnassus, 10 years ago.
There it is, Brendel said, sounding cheerful for the first time in Siv's memory.
It appears untouched,
Phasma added, looking through her quadnox.
If someone else had reached it first, it would be stripped to nothing.
From what Siv could see of the ship, it was the size of a building and covered in the shiniest metal she'd ever seen, bright enough to rival the beetles that had covered Chirk. But the ship was silver rather than gold, and the sun gleamed off it so fiercely that she had to shield her eyes with her hands. Hope swelled in her heart, and she could barely contain her excitement. For all that she'd let herself believe in Brendel's promised future, she had never fully trusted the man or his story of the First Order's might and generosity. The wrecked ship was just in front of a structure she recognized all too well, another Khonstar Mining Corporation station. It had been utterly destroyed, as had all the outbuildings around it. Twisted chunks of metal and broken poles poked up through the sand, and two great cylinders the size of the station itself towered behind it, dead gray against the flat blue sky.
That's what happened,
Brendel said, almost to himself. Then louder.
It was a nuclear accident. Someone must have cut corners on building materials or made another stupid error. The galaxy should be beyond this sort of tragedy. Under the First Order, a company could not simply devastate a planet and abandon it. Who knows how many lives were lost here?
He shook his head and spit into the sand, and for once, Siv didn't blame him. If wasting a tiny glob of moisture was blasphemy, then killing millions of people was even more so.
So, the sickness, Siv began.
Brendel looked at her, his earlier cheer gone.
Yes, we'll feel it soon. Radiation poisoning. The redness, the boils, then weakness. It will get worse. The faster we get to my ship and call the First Order, the faster they'll get us off this dead rock and pumped full of the antidote.
Which is?
He waved his hand dismissively.
Chelation, antioxidants, drugs, not my field. This is why we have med droids. The point is that the more time we spend standing here talking about it, the lower our chances of surviving long enough to be cured.
Phasma took off running, and even Brendel found his speed in her wake. They surged down the other side of the dune and into the crater below, slipping and sliding in the sand, falling and getting back up to run again. A throbbing ache began behind Siv's eyes, and for just a moment she saw double and almost swooned. But then Torben had her arm, and she was up and running again. Even the Skyr warriors were winded by the time they reached the ship, close enough to see the angles of the smooth craft and the cracked plates of metal strewn around it and damaged by the impact. Brendel was breathing so hard that he couldn't speak. He waved his arm at his troopers, and they attempted to climb up onto the metal, their boots sliding on the chrome. Siv didn't know that word, chrome, but I do. I'm sure you recall that craft, having ridden in it yourself a few times in your day. It was once Palpatine's favorite yacht on Naboo, and I don't know how Brendel got his hands on it, but he loved it. And then it disappeared from the records. Perhaps you remember when you stopped seeing it. Maybe Brendel told you he'd sold it or that it had been retired. He probably didn't want to admit that he'd crashed it and abandoned it. It was no easy task breaking into a damaged ship of that size without the right equipment, and the troopers were making a poor job of it.
Leave this to us,
Phasma said, and she nodded at Siv and Torben. Pleased to have real work to do, they pulled their Skyr gear out of their bags. Claw boots and gloves and rappelling lines and grappling hooks crafted from detritus and rusty mining equipment. In the Skyr, such things were necessary every day, but the climbing rigs had been useless ever since they'd rappelled down the mountain and landed in endless sand. For just a moment, having ascended her line to stand high on the silver wing of the ship, Siv was flooded with pure joy and accomplishment, forgetting all that had befallen her family in the last week. When she looked through the broken transparasteel of the cockpit, however, her happiness fled. Two dead humans sat within, strapped into their chairs in black helmets, beetles fighting to lap up the dried blood discoloring their black clothes. As Phasma turned to drop a rappelling line to the troopers to help haul Brendel up into the cockpit, she froze. Siv followed her gaze and felt her heart stutter. It was Keldo. And all the Skyr, and all the claws, already over the dune and rushing forward, weapons ready.
"Pull me up!" Brendel shouted. "Hurry!"
Whatever he said next was lost in a volley of blaster bolts from the troopers and the mad cacophony of war cries. At least 50 people were headed directly for the wreck, and Siv and Torben ducked as more blaster fire flickered off the ship around them. Keldo's people must have found Gosta's blasters and the spare blasters left behind in the Gavs. Siv had never been on the receiving end of blaster fire, and it was disorienting. The shiny metal deflected the bolts, but that just meant there were two ways to get shot, from the initial fire and from the ricochets bouncing back in random directions. Phasma struggled to single-handedly pull Brendel up onto the ship, but then the line flapped in her gloved fingers, shot by a lucky blast. Brendel fell more than a meter and landed badly, crying out and flailing on his back as his troopers knelt in front of him, returning fire at the approaching attackers.
"We must get to the ground and defend Brendel," Phasma said.
"He's not one of us,"
Torben shouted, neatly conveying what Siv had struggled so long to communicate.
"But he's the only one capable of bringing the First Order to help. If we don't save him and get him up here to make the call, we die here."
Siv saw and hated the truth of it, and she knew her only chance was to follow Phasma's orders. When Phasma jumped backward off the ship to rappel to the ground, Siv followed, and Torben was right behind them. They landed in a cloud of sand, Siv's hands stinging from the rope's friction, even through her gloves.
"Protect Brendel at all costs,"
Phasma said, speaking to them and to the troopers who were already doing so. Phasma pried a rectangle of metal out of the sand and flipped the broken ship plating up as a shield to face the attackers, and Torben followed suit. Siv gladly joined him behind the makeshift barricade as the troopers did the same, sheltering Brendel between them behind their panel. With each blaster hit, the metal rang and shook, and Siv used both arms to push sand behind it and help Torben hold it up. Whenever she sensed a break in the shooting, Siv peeked around her edge and shot back. The sudden rush of triumph she felt each time one of her blaster bolts found home was immediately swallowed down by sadness as her brain registered who she'd just felled. These people had been there all her life, helping her toddle about the Nautilus and teaching her how to make strong boots and pushing her to be fearless as she learned to leap between rock spires. Now she was ending them with the single pull of a trigger, not even in a valiant and worthy fight. Most of them were armed with only axes and knives, the rough weapons of the Skyr, and still they kept running toward her, screaming as if they had a chance. One by one, she picked them off and watched them fall. Despite their diminishing numbers and the ongoing blaster fire tearing them apart, Keldo and his people continued their attack. Someone had attached a piece of metal to the front of Keldo's sled, and he was ducked down behind it, avoiding the fire just as Siv's side was, which made Siv feel both frustrated and glad. She didn't want to hurt him, but she didn't want to die either. The Skyr and Claws were coming fast, and Siv suspected that soon they'd be close enough to call one another by name and see the light leave the eyes of friends as they died far from their home territory, swarmed by beetles and crusted with gray sand. The first warrior crashed into Phasma's metal shield, a claw swinging a big axe, aiming for Phasma's body behind the metal plate. Phasma put a foot against the metal and kicked him over, dispatching him with an impersonal blaster bolt to the chest. If not for her imposing height and the flash of Aratu cloth between the joints of her armor, she could have easily been one of Brendel's faceless, nameless troopers. Siv didn't have long to ponder her leader's transformation. The wave of warriors struck, and she was too busy hacking with her scythe and shooting with her blaster to consider philosophy. The blaster wasn't as strong or trustworthy as the ones Phasma and the troopers wielded, but Siv was grateful for the ability to fight at two ranges and to end a foe without having to pull a blade out of sticky flesh. She took down two claws with the blaster, but it clicked and failed to shoot the third body in the line.
Screaming her own war cry, taken over fully by the bloodlust of war, Siv rose from behind the shield and lashed out with one of her blades, a weapon that never failed. It bit into a woman's neck, half cleaving it from her shoulder. The woman's surprised eyes met Siv's, and Siv realized it was Ylva, the mother of Frey. She pulled out the blade, horrified, and looked around for the treasured little girl, but all she saw were yet more warriors out for her blood. Ylva sputtered on the ground and began screaming as the golden beetles surged up from the sand, swarming over her and feasting on the blood. There was nothing for it. Such wounds would not heal. Siv's only gift was mercy. She slashed Ylva across the throat and moved on to the next attacker. No time to use the detractors or say the prayer for Ylva. No time even to clean the blood from her scythe. She caught glimpses between attacks of her fellow fighters, her former family. Torben wrestled with his own brother, born much smaller and less inclined to brutality, and it was clear that Torben didn't want to be the one responsible for his older brother's death. They wrestled with bare hands, their weapons long ago fallen to the sand, and although Torben could have ended the fight in 10 different ways, snapping his brother's neck or spine, or bashing his nose up into his brain, he just kept growling at the man, holding him in something that might have been a hug if they hadn't been muttering ferociously at each other about loyalty, surrounded by the dead and dying. Between assaults, Siv watched her side struggle, what few of them there were. One of the troopers was dead, and Brendel was industriously hunched behind the shield, putting on the man's armor. The other trooper had a blaster in each hand and was methodically shooting everyone in his path. A trail of bodies slid down the dune, full of blaster holes and gently smoking, some still crawling or moaning. This was not how fights went in the Skyre, not how Baldur's band had faced off with Phasma's warriors. There had been an element of courage and respect in their skirmishes, the bands testing each other, wetting their skills against their opposition like a blade to a stone. But this? It was slaughter, and it turned Siv's stomach. There was no honor in this fight. As for Phasma, she had abandoned her shield and entered her pure element, war. She danced from attacker to attacker, evading every sword stroke and axe hit. There was an elemental elegance to her every move, to the cold precision with which she dispatched every warrior who approached her with malice. Watching her, Siv could see the path she forged, and it led straight to Keldo. Unable to fight thanks to his missing leg, he waited behind his shield, his mask hiding his true face and two discarded blasters on the sand by his sled. Tiny fingers curled around his shield suggested that the child, Frey, hid behind it with him. That was the moment when Siv realized that even if Phasma was wrong, Keldo wasn't right either. A good leader would have accepted the loss of his greatest warriors and worked to shore up his territory. He would have armed the next line of defense, secured food and shelter for those who remained, and focused on maintaining his relationship with the nearest band, likewise recently weakened. Instead, Keldo had abandoned his generational home, the territory for which they had fought so long and given up so much, and brought all his people here, across the wastelands, to die on a hopeless journey of revenge. A soft cry drew Siv's attention, and she watched Torben fall. The big man landed on his knees, then gently slumped sideways onto the sand, blood gushing from a gash in his side and his mask slipping from his face. His brother stood over him, staring down at the blade in his hand in mute horror. It was, to Siv's knowledge, his first kill. Siv wanted to run to Torben, to comfort him, to hold him, to give him the proper prayers, but she knew well enough when a wound was fatal. Nothing she could do would save him. His eyes were already open to the blue sky, empty, the beetles swarming up in a golden river to suck on the gaping wound. Torben's brother looked up at her, his eyes pleading for something. Forgiveness, maybe, or understanding, or that he might somehow wake from this nightmare. He was not a warrior and had never earned his mask, which meant that his tears were there for all to see. Siv could not give him what he sought. She picked up the dead stormtrooper's blaster rifle, and shot Torben's brother. Torben's murderer. One lone bolt carefully placed to guarantee its lethality. A small smile lit his face before he fell, and she thought she saw his lips form the words, "Thank you." Siv looked around for her next fight and found that there was no one left. Torben was gone, and both of Brendel's troopers were on the ground, one half stripped of his armor. The only people still standing were Brendel Hux, cowering behind his shield, partially stuffed into armor that didn't fit, and Phasma, standing in a circle of bodies that were swirled in red blood and gold beetles. And far off, Keldo on his sled. Bodies lay everywhere. Considering most of them were old or had never been warriors, it felt less like a victory and more like a slaughter of fools. Dropping the shield, Siv gave Keldo a hard look, picked her way across the battlefield, and knelt by Torben's body on the opposite side of the beetle flood. Taking her detraxer from her bag, she attached a new skin and slipped the spike into place. As the machine hummed to life and did its work, depriving the beetles of their goal, she gently pulled the mask from Torben's head and snapped it in half over one knee. His skin was redder now, starting to peel, and his lips were so dry that they were shredded. His unseeing eyes glared up at the sun, asking a question that would never be answered. "Thank you for serving us, Torben," she said, tears threatening. "Your today protects my people's tomorrow. Body to body, dust to dust." His brother lay nearby, and she put the other detractor to work, reciting the same prayer. Even if Brendel's people managed to save them in time, before the sickness truly took hold, and even if such unsophisticated medicines had no use in ships among the stars, this was Siv's task. This was how she helped her family. This was who she was. This was how she would do honor to her people. But the fight wasn't actually over. Phasma had her own responsibilities. She and Keldo stared at each other over the field of battle. He'd taken off his fierce mask as if he could simply set violence aside. Although Phasma wore a helmet and her brother's burned red face was bare, Siv knew well that neither one blinked. It seemed to be a battle of wills at first, but it was clear that Keldo couldn't move. He had a sled with no one to pull it and only one leg, although he wore the prosthetic made from the droid and sat tall with tiny Frey in his lap. An orphaned child, and a field of sand and corpses formed an impossible divide between Keldo and his sister. When Phasma lowered her blaster and strode across the bloody field to him, it was in no way an act of subservience. It was a statement. "I walk because you will not. Because you cannot." And Keldo knew it. His face went even redder as she took powerful, deliberate strides toward him. Still, she didn't remove her helmet, but she didn't have to. She was the tallest woman Siv had ever seen, and even if that didn't make Phasma's presence clear, her fighting prowess did. It felt like an eternity, the proud warrior in singed and dirty armor approaching the helpless man trapped alone in the desert. Brendel finally stood and straightened, quietly disentangling himself from the poorly fitting armor and brushing down his black uniform as if to acknowledge that something of import was occurring. He followed in Phasma's path, blaster in hand. But where she strode like a colossus, he picked and hopped over the bodies, as if disgusted by the very real carnage of the war his presence had wrought. Siv heard the telltale sound of a detraxer with no more work to do, and looked to Torben. His huge body, once her shelter and her comfort, had been reduced to a sad and sunken husk. The beetles had fled, no more sustenance to draw them near. Recognizing her calling, she switched out skins and looked for the next body, but they were all swarming with beetles. She could only sit back on her heels and watch Phasma as she crossed an uncrossable gulf with Brendel, an almost comical figure, trailing in her wake.
"Phasma," Keldo asked, "take off the helmet and speak to me."
Phasma shook her head.
"While you sit behind two shields? No. Warriors earn their masks, and I have obtained a superior one."
Keldo frowned in distaste.
What have you become, Phasma? That's not your voice. Those aren't your words. That's not your mask. You've destroyed everything we worked for.
The next step Phasma took carried a new threat, and Keldo sensed it and flinched.
Wrong, Keldo. You destroyed it. We had one chance. One chance to leave this dying shell for a life of something better. And instead of grasping for that greatness, you doomed your people.
I didn't kill these people, Phasma. You did that.
You delivered them to their doom.
Brendel took a step closer, his hands behind his back and his posture erect and formal.
Phasma, we must call the First Order. Time is wasting. The sickness will soon take hold.
His clipped, brutal words carried on the still air.
You know what has to happen now.
Kneeling in the sand, every breath tearing from her dry throat, her eyes burning and her skin peeling, Siv watched the scene unfold as if it were a dream. Keldo put his hands up, pleading.
Phasma, don't do this. Don't be this.
I know what I am, Keldo. I always have. That's the difference between us. I am willing to finish what I've begun.
Phasma took a step toward Keldo, pulled out her blaster, and shot him in the chest. Keldo's eyes jerked wide and his body went limp, slumping sideways out of the sled. A tiny, ragged cry ripped out of Frey, still hiding behind the shield. Phasma aimed her blaster.
No!
Siv screamed. Phasma's head whipped around as if she'd forgotten that Siv existed, much less that she'd survived the battle. But Phasma's blaster didn't waver. Her helmet turned to look at Brendel as if in question.
The First Order can always use strong children, he said, if she can survive the sickness.
Phasma nodded once.
Siv!
She called. That's all it took to break the spell. Siv forgot the detractors, her feet pounding across the sand to pluck the child from the sled and hold her tightly, the last remaining member of her family.
Siv? What happened?
Frey asked.
Where's Mama?
Hush, love, Siv whispered into the child's wild brown hair. We're going to take a ride to the stars.